This show is a legal advertisement, and it is intended to provide general information only. It is not intended to provide specific legal advice, nor does it create an attorney-client relationship. You should not rely on general legal information instead of specific legal advice regarding your specific circumstances. Follow-up contact does not create an attorney-client relationship and does not constitute legal advice.
Ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. I'm Gary Bell, along with Brad Pollock. This show is for you. You know we're injury attorneys, but this show is for you on any legal subject. 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. We're going to be glad to field your questions on any legal subject. It doesn't matter, even though we're injury attorneys. It could be landlord-tenant. It could be estates. It could be inheritances. Wills, property purchases, product problems, doesn't matter. It could be injury questions as well. Doesn't matter. 303-713-8255. We're here for you just like we are every week. And our website, championsofthepeople.com. You know, all of our books are there. We have 6 books, so you can download an e-copy free of any of our books, or if you want a hard copy, all you have to do is contact us, and there's a variety of ways to do that, but you can call our law firm. You can come by. Our law firm will hand you any of the books, hard copies that you want. We do this so you have the information you need as an injured person to fight the insurance companies. At Bell & Pollock, we educate and advocate. All right, today's subject is a really interesting subject. The United States Supreme Court has granted certiorari, and Brad's going to explain to you in a minute what that means. They're going to review the decision out of the Ninth Circuit in California, Northern California, San Francisco, about the NCAA. And the NCAA, you know, what kind of entity is it? Is it a governmental entity? How does it promulgate these rules? How does it restrict athletes from getting pay legally? You know, this is a law talk show. We're talking law. How do they do this? Is there a challenge to that? What's the challenge to Brad? What's the current landscape with regard to this? The Ninth Circuit of Court of Appeals opinion, we've read it. It's an incredible opinion, and boy, do we have a hot topic.
Well, we do, and as far as the law goes, and as far as what's happening with the NCAA and how student athletes should be paid, it's funny because I think sometimes people don't realize what's happening when they're being subjected to different kind of surveys and they're being asked questions and they participate in surveys. Those aren't small things because sometimes those surveys are being done for a reason. Somebody's commissioned those surveys and they're asking these questions for a reason. And experts have come forth for the NCAA, and they've had their surveys and they've talked about pro-competitive, what they call pro-competitive factors that allow them to exercise what has been found, has already been found, really, to be restraint of trade under the Sherman Antitrust Law. Remember, the NCAA actually determines and governs and controls how much a student athlete can get as far as compensation in one form or another. And when we talk about for participating in a particular school, and that compensation can be or is in the form of a lot of times a scholarship. And there's probably millions of people out there who either themselves or their parents or their children have had high schoolers who are very good athletes in one sport or another. And, you know, we tend to focus on football and basketball, but it could be in any sport, swimming or gymnastics or whatever. And they focus on the fact that they might get scholarships. And then they get scholarships to get them through school. And the question that comes up is what restrictions should be on those scholarships for cost of attendance to allow them to come in and go to school. And does, when the NCAA starts putting restrictions on it, what can be given to the student, what kind of benefits the student can get, in addition to just having their tuition paid, and can they get anything above that? The question comes up, if the NCAA is restricting that or governing that, is that a violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act? And I think the courts pretty much stated it is. Now the question comes up, is there a reason for it?
You know, it's fascinating law, because the Sherman Antitrust Act, you know, it, on its face, it's, you know, it's 15 U.S.C. Section 1. On its face, it says that you cannot have an illegal combination or conspiracy or agreement to restrain trade. To restrain trade. So how does that apply to the NCAA? How does that apply to colleges? I mean, did they have an agreement? So your first legal analysis starts with who in the heck is the NCAA legally? Are they part of the government? What do you think? No, they're not. So because when you have a governmental entity, you have a completely different legal analysis than when you have a private entity. So we got a private entity, Brad, that's issued rules and regulations, and now the law was, or the lawsuits claim that they violate restrain trade. So what's the law? The law says the Supreme Court dealt with this years ago, because they said if you talk about restraining trade, well, almost everything you do, almost every agreement you have is restraint of trade. So what is heck about that? So they adopted and invented the rule of reason. So, you know, the rule of reason means it has to be reasonable. And that, you know, that's wide open door legally for all kinds of interpretation. But Brad, you know, rule of reason. So yes, they issue rules and regulations to the NCAA. Are they reasonable? Basically, that's what it boils down to, and that's what this philosophical legal fight is about.
Well, that's right. The question is when they start examining the rules and that they supply, are they reasonable? On the main basis that the NCAA has advanced, and it's the main basis, is pro-competitive. And they've said that what drives people to watch NCAA athletic football and basketball? What drives you to watch Division I football and basketball? Today, I think it's today, we're going to have the Clemson versus Notre Dame game. And I think that's the ACC championship, if I remember right. And they're going to be playing each other. And it's going to draw a large attendance, a huge attendance, obviously. TV is going to watch it. The stands, if they could be full, would be full. They can't be, but if they could, they would be. But the NCAA would tell you one of the driving factors, one of the main factors for people wanting to watch that game and wanting to watch college football is the fact that it's amateurism. That's what they call it, amateurism. These are young men who are playing the game who are not being paid. And because they're not being paid, that makes you want to watch them more than, or at least equal to, that what you would be watching if they were getting paid. Actually, more than if they were getting paid. And that's why the NCAA has to make sure there's restrictions, because they have to make sure these are amateurs playing.
Right. So then the court grapples with the concept of whether or not these restrictions are reasonable restraints of trade. So to put this in perspective for you right before we go to break, put this in perspective. The state of California, and you want to listen to this real carefully, the state of California passed a statute that said it's called fair pay to play. What does that mean? California in 2023 is going to open up the door for athletes, state law, right? Open up the door for athletes to receive more than scholarships, and they want to be paid for their name, for their reputation, for emblems and that sort of thing, and how good of a player they are. So the state of California is going to do that. So look at that argument. That restrains trade is the argument. What does that mean? Well, all the California schools are going to have ability to get all the good players. That's the argument. Because they're going to pay them. And they're going to make all this money. So why would anybody go to any other state but California to play any sport? That's the argument. Okay? And so is that a restraint on trade? That's going to go into effect. That law's already been passed, 2023. So now the United States Supreme Court has decided to take they granted writ of cert, meaning we're going to decide, we're going to review, we're going to decide this issue, which is absolutely fascinating. We got a break coming up. You can call us right now, 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack. Our law firm is Bell and Pollack. We're injury attorneys in our day lives, but our radio lives, we're right here for you. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
It's champagne. Everybody's in the lake. And don't you know, it's a beautiful day. Hey!
Good morning. Welcome back. Fasten your seatbelt. Here we go. Gary Bell, Brad Pollack. This is the Bell and Pollack Legal Show, the only show of its kind. It's a law talk show. We talk law. We're ready to talk law with you on any legal subject. You can call us at 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. We're ready to talk law with you. Welcome to all of our listeners, KHOW in Denver, KRDO, Colorado Springs, KRAI, Craig, Colorado, and KEZZ, 94.1 FM, Steamboat Springs. Welcome, and give us a call if you have a question on any legal subject. Today's legal subject that we're giving to you is that the United States Supreme Court has agreed to review the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco's decision concerning the NCAA. The NCAA is not a governmental entity. What is it? It is really basically just a trade union of colleges. And they were formed long time ago, and in the beginning they didn't have much power. Then they started issuing what? Rules and regulations from a private company, a private entity, Brad. And so when the rules and regulations start to restrain commerce, remember, a lot of things can restrain commerce. I mean, you and I can be in business and make all kinds of agreements that restrain commerce. The rule, the law is it has to be past the muster of the rule of reason. It has to be reasonable, which leaves it open for all kinds of interpretation.
Well, okay, you start with the rules. You know, and by the way, this has been a teapot waiting to boil over for so long. We here in Colorado got a good taste of it. When, if I bring back the name Jeremy Bloom, I imagine a number of people will remember him, and we got a good taste of it because Jeremy Bloom was a world-class skier. He wanted to play receiver and a punt returner for the University of Colorado, and the NCAA didn't want him was saying he couldn't do it. And why couldn't he do it? Because he had received endorsement money. He had received money for his name, image, and likeness. And the NCAA said they were entitled to, going forward, they would have been entitled to that money, but they said he was already lost his amateur status across the board. Now, what was interesting about that is that at that time in 2002, they were saying that if Jeremy Bloom had received money for skiing, and then he could go in to college at a different sport and he could be an amateur. But if he received money for his name, image, and likeness as an athlete, now he lost his amateur status because of receiving money in his name, image, and likeness.
And that's a rule and regulation by a private entity, the NCAA.
Right. And the NCAA, which clearly, just on its face, you go, well, that's restraining trade. I mean, because you're taking a man who could go play sports and make money as a skier, and you're saying if you want to play college sports, you can't make money for endorsements as a skier. That's restraining trade, folks. And so, you start with pretty much an easy premise of saying probably the Sherman Antitrust Act has something to say about that. Let's go back and talk about maybe that's not the right thing to do. So we're going to have it reviewed, and then the NCAA has to come forward because now it's their turn. Once you get to the statement of any act that any rule the NCAA has that says this is a restraint of trade or that restrains trade, this is a rule that we're not allowing you to do and it restrains trade. Now, once that's determined, the NCAA has to come back with a rule of reason saying this is why we do it. And that's why I talked about surveys to begin with. NCAA comes in with their experts, and they have all their experts saying, we've gone through surveys, we've gone through, we've talked to people, and we've gone through studies, and we have found that the unique, one of the unique, we can't say the unique, but one of the unique factors that cause people to want to watch the college football games is the fact that they're amateurs. They're not professionals.
That's their argument.
And, yeah, and it's not just not just amateurs by virtue of they don't get paid to be out there on the field playing, but they're also not getting paid for their name, image, and likeness to be used somewhere else, to be to promotions, to as we talked here during the break, is to sign the hats and to be at the different places to promote themselves as stars. And they said that, therefore, we don't want stars to or people taking advantage of that to be considered amateurs. You lose your amateur status. And once you lose that amateur status, you can no longer play any sport. It doesn't matter what sport is. You know, and if you remember back when Jeremy Bloom was doing his thing, and trying, you know, I think he ultimately lost, if I remember right. You know, and it's a new horizon now. They're looking at it different now because the laws are different, or actually the interpretation of laws are different. There's been a lot of lawsuits since then. I don't think we could count the number of lawsuits that have gone on since then. But, you know, back then they were saying, for instance, they said, well, you know, Julia Roberts, a famous movie star, was a movie star and made money off her name, image, and likeness and promotion and everything. They said if she decided to go to college and play on the women's volleyball team, are you really saying she'd be ineligible because she had promotions and was a, quote, professional from receiving money from her name, image, and likeness? And they were saying, you know, why are you taking that away from other athletes? And you know, of course, the NCAA said, well, Jeremy Bloom did it for skiing, which is another athletic endeavor, especially one that goes on at the University of Colorado, and went through a number of different factors. And if I remember right, I don't think Jeremy Bloom ended out. I tend to remember seeing him in a football game playing for CU and maybe more, but then I think eventually he was ruled to be disqualified and not allowed to play anymore once it went through the courts and everything happened. That being set aside, the real question is what's going on now? And now we have the Supreme Court taking cert, which says it is agreeing to look at cases, or this particular case, to determine whether or not the rules and the laws are being appropriately apply to determine whether or not the NCAA can even step into this realm. Can it really make these rules? Can it really make these requirements that apply to athletes? And, you know, the NCAA has been enjoined in a number of areas.
Well, they have been. There's been lawsuits before. But, you know, let's talk about pure law here for a second. So let's talk about vertical restraint and horizontal restraint under the Sherman Antitrust Act. What does that mean? First of all, let's talk about vertical restraint. What's vertical restraint? Take a I haven't investigated this factually, but it's dawned on me that it might be there. Take Costco, and they have their brand Kirkland, and I haven't investigated this, so I don't know the actual answer, but let's assume for my argument, if a company like Costco, they manufacture their own goods, so they get paid for manufacturing, they sell them, they distribute them, sort of like Amazon, and then they actually sell them retail. And so that's a vertical restraint. They control everything up and down the supply chain, right? Everything from the raw products to start making the product, to manufacturing it, to doing it, to shipping it, to transporting it, to selling it at retail level. That's vertical restraint. A lot of companies do that. So is it reasonable? There you go. The rule of reason, right? So the other thing is horizontal restraint, and that's where the NCAA comes in. What's horizontal restraint? Instead of having one company control everything up and down the supply chain from the raw materials and raw goods down to retail, horizontal restraint is people and members located across the country, like colleges. Okay? And so they reach an agreement by having an agreement between all NCAA members not to provide student athletes an agreement horizontally. Agreement, the NCAA and all the colleges agree not to pay athletes fair compensation, what they call, or their market value, then the argument is they have restrained trade horizontally. That's the NCAA case. That's it. Not a vertical restraint case, but a horizontal restraint case. And so how do they do that? Because they say they agree, right? There's an agreement. There's a combination. There's a conspiracy under the terms of the statute to restrain trade. Was it reasonable? That's what the United States Supreme Court's going to decide. And on top of all this, wow, we got a break coming up, but wow, wait a minute. We got some more statutes going to be introduced and legislation introduced. So what's the effect of Congress passes a statute on this versus the United States Supreme Court making the decision? All right, we're going to cover that right after the break. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We are injury attorneys. This show is for you on any legal subject. Give us a call right now, 303-713-8255. We'll be glad to answer your questions. We'll be glad to solve your problems, 303-713-8255. You're listening to the Champions of the People, Bell and Pollock. We'll be right back.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get back together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you've forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
All right, good morning, welcome back. Here we go. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, our number right here, 303-713-8255. That's 713-8255. Today's legal, you know, this is a Law Talk show. Today's legal subject is the NCAA, the rules and regulations, the United States Supreme Court, and we got a new statute that we're going to get to. But first, we're going to talk to Eric at Caitlin's. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good. What's cooking over there?
You know, we got all kinds of things cooking over here. You know, we say that we are Caitlin's restaurant for breakfast and lunch, and we really are. You know, we talk about breakfast a lot with our omelets, our scratch-made omelets, our red and green chili, our stacked chicken enchiladas, our huevos rancheros, our different variety of smothered burritos. But we do lunch as well. You know, we have a variety of salads. We have a turkey salad. We have a chicken Caesar salad. We have what we call a chicken club quesadilla, a variety of quesadillas. The chicken club quesadilla is really, really popular. It's got the shredded chicken, diced bacon, onions, comes with the cheddar jack cheese, lettuce, tomato, guac, and sour, a variety of things like that to do. So we aren't just breakfast, but we do pride ourselves on all those things. We have that scratch-made pancake batter that we talk about. We do a variety of different types of pancakes. We do chocolate chip pancakes, banana Foster's, blueberry, raspberry, all kinds of things. So there's all kinds of things on the menu to look at. And the way you can go and see those things is a couple different ways, too. Obviously, you can go to our website, www.caitlinsrestaurant.com. You can view our full menu on there, and you can place an order online with that. You can go to Grubhub site. We're a part of a delivery service we do there. They have that. You can do that. You can go to our Facebook page and look it up, and our menu there as well, and do that. You can do Uber Eats. So we've got a variety of things on our menu to offer and a variety of ways to get them out there.
Is there anything that's not to go, Eric?
There is nothing that's not to go, you know?
Everything
is able to go.
And you can get it either cooked or uncooked, so you can...
Absolutely. You know, what we were talking about last week a little bit was a little box lunch special that I kind of touched on that we were working on there, where you can do a half sandwich, you can get it on toasted bread, fresh bread, you can get it made as a wrap, you can get it with a side salad, or you can get it with a side of fruit. So if you wanted to come in the morning and get a couple handheld burritos that I talk about all the time, and start off your day and take your box lunch home, or take it to your work office and go in and have it there. It'll keep for time. And we have those bulk things also that, like I said, we do cold. So the pancake batter you can get, the red chili, the green chili, the beans, our rice, our carne adobada, which is that slow roasted pork. All those things you can buy in bulk, and you can buy it refrigerated and take it home and take it to work, or take it home, throw it in the microwave, put it in the oven, do whatever you want to do and get it all done. Absolutely. You bet.
Eric, I have a question for you.
Certainly.
I have never tried the Bananas Foster pancakes.
Oh.
What is in the Banana Foster pancakes?
Well, I will tell you that we take the fresh bananas and slice them up. we take a little bit of white rum and saute those bananas down. We add a little bit of brown sugar to that, and then a little banana liqueur. That throws the flame in there. You burn off that alcohol, leaves you with a wonderful glaze. Pour that right over the top of that, and you're good to go. A little bit of butter if you want it. Don't really need it, but a little bit of butter on top of that. Sell a ton of those, and it looks great.
Okay, so I'm supposed to, are you going to give me the match and the lighter to take home to cook off my bananas froster? I know, let's not get carried away here.
Maybe I don't have that to go. I don't have a match in the lighter to go, but
I can bring my own match. No, that sounds fantastic. You know, and with that special pancake batter you got, the buttermilk, I think it is.
Well,
it's a scratch-made buttermilk batter. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, and we do our French toast batter. It is a secret batter that we use on that, too, that makes it really, really sweet. So all kinds of novelty products and all kinds of other ways to get those things taken care of and get them brought to you. Or you can just call us, 303-798-6600. Place your order right over the phone. Call in your order, and then just text us or call us when you get up in the parking lot and pull up front. Bring it right out to you. Take care of everything, and just contact us there and get it all taken care of and get you on your way.
Someday I'll be able to come sit there in your restaurant and eat, Eric, but until then, just keep the to-go's coming, man. I'll be ready.
Absolutely. We'll be ready for that, too.
Okay, Eric, where are you located?
Guys, that's going to be at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that is one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That is in the Glendale Shopping Center, guys. And like I said, there's a variety of things to choose from, a variety of things to enjoy, and a variety of ways to get those things in. No matter how you do it, you will love it, every by the way.
All right,
Eric.
Thanks a lot.
Guys, have a good day. Thank you.
All right. You can give us a call right now here on any legal subject. We're ready to go for you, 303-713-713. 8255. That's 713-8255. We'll be glad to answer your questions on any legal subject, doesn't matter, and we'll help you solve your problems. If we can't solve it on the air, we try to solve it after the show next week, and we've helped a lot of people doing that. We're glad to help you. 303-713-8255. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website. All of the information is there. You know, on the homepage, we have a button, a couple of buttons, but one button you can hit and listen to our 30-minute show and what you need to know before you talk to the insurance adjuster for the very first time after an accident. Wouldn't you want to know that? And what can you ask them? Yes. And if you don't have time to listen to the 30-minute show, go to the homepage of championsofthepeople.com. There's another button you can hit and print a quick downloadable PDF checklist on what you need to know before you talk to the adjuster. And what kind of questions you can ask them. Very important. No, I take that back. It's critical. It's more than very important. And all of our books are there, of course. You can download any copy free. Today we're talking about the NCAA, and the United States Supreme Court has agreed to review the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals opinion that held the NCAA violated the Sherman Antitrust Act, but it didn't give the people, the plaintiffs, all the relief they wanted. So both sides are kind of... So it was like a divorce case. Nobody's happy. Both sides are going to go up to the United States Supreme Court, and they agreed to take it. It has a colorful history. But at the same time, Brad, now we've got the United States Congress. We got the California Fair Pay to Play Act. We went over that in 2023. Going to pay athletes, and so everybody would want to go to a California school. That's the argument. Now the Supreme Court's going to review this, but at the same time, just down the street, the Congress is going to has a bill pending. Sponsored by, I think, four senators, with regard to this very same subject, and it would allow athletes to be paid and have the full value of their participation, their scholarship, their existence, their name, the identity, their likeness, that sort of thing. But you know, some of the statistics on this is so now you got the Congress going to pass a law that might change what the Supreme Court does, or the Supreme Court might rule before then. And so, and the NCAA has a huge vested interest in the entire matter. But just look at this number right here. The new federal law that's just a bill, it's not a law yet, it's just a bill, would require schools, and listen to this very carefully, require schools to share 50% of the profit, 50% of the profit from their revenue-generating sports such as football and basketball with the athletes who play them. Did you hear that? 50% of the profits. How much money is that? Well, some of the biggest, you know, athletic departments in the school, like maybe Ohio State, Alabama, Texas, Oklahoma, generate more than $100 million in revenue annually. over $100 million. So if you were with the NCAA, you'd want to fight this. If, if you're the athlete, student-athlete, you'd want to fight it. You know, Brandon, and an aside, there was one case where the student-athlete all of a sudden saw his likeness and his image on a video game. And there was a lawsuit about that, and you would say, everybody would say, well, that doesn't sound right. You know, and so he wanted to be paid. But now we're about to go from educationally related expenses, which is a powerful argument both ways, to much more money than that for the athletes.
Well, here we go.
Here we go.
You know, you got to try and figure out how all this plays into each other and realize where the strengths and weaknesses are in different cases. Let's say you get the California legislation and all of a sudden the California teams are playing their players. Now, you know, we talk about $100 million worth of revenue, and then we say they're entitled to 50% of the profit, so we don't know how much that profit would be, but then what we have to start deciding, can you imagine the nightmare, Gary, that would be involved in trying to determine what the profit is, what different schools say, here's how much profit we make, and if Ohio State has certain line items in their budget that's different from Michigan and different from Notre Dame and Clemson and Alabama, and all of a sudden now you got what are you going to have? You're going to have a student athlete coming out of high school and saying, well, I want to know what the profits are, but I want us to know what you're putting in the bottom line because your profit could be higher, and I'm going to get half of that.
It's almost like a prenuptial agreement or something like that. It's amazing when you think about it. But here come all the lawyers, and here come all the accountants.
Right.
Here we go. It's going to make L.A. law look like an insignificant fairy tale.
And then what are you going to do? You're going to have if you have the California teams doing that because they get legislation in California. And remember, folks, we have a state. Each state has autonomy from the federal government in a number of different areas. And then there's other areas where they don't. We can all talk about that. But when we start doing it, we're saying, okay, what if the NCAA comes out and all the other states say we want to be part of the NCAA. We don't want legislation like that. But what we're going to do, California, is your California teams can't play in our NCAA championships and our NCAA competition.
Because you paid your employees, employees, your athletes, and you got better athletes or whatever
right,
the argument's
going to
be.
Well, you broke the NCAA rule, so we kicked you out of the NCAA. Yeah. Doesn't, you know, we don't care if you did it because your California legislature says you can do it or not. The NCAA has its own set of rules, and to be part of our organization, you can't do that. So guess what? Now we're going to have the California champions and the rest of the nation champions, and then what happens when 10 other states accept the California laws? Now we're going to have the 11th state championship versus the NCAA championship, and you know, you can see the makings of another championship game between the 11 states versus the NCAA. But the question is do you even have the right as a school to belong to one or the other, or as a state, do you have a right to pass a law one for the other? And if you do, does that then, once you get this other uprising that California's done, does that now change even the question of the Sherman Antitrust Act? Because now you've got competition. And now all of a sudden the Sherman Antitrust Act, it looks at what is competition. And it wants to know whether or not you're a restraint of trade, whether or not you're taking away competition.
Right. What we know right now is the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled, and other courts have ruled, that the NCAA is subject to, and in that case did violate, the Sherman Antitrust Act restraint of trade provision. That's what we do know. We got some other things we can summarize for you after the break. We got a break coming up. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, and don't forget about the show that follows our show. That's a consumer real estate show, Barry and Larry. They're very good. They have incredible guests on their show. They're very informative. They know what they're talking about. They have years of experience and expertise. You know, if you have questions on real estate, that's the place you need to go. There's a lot of interesting issues these days, and then even more than interesting, it affects people's lives about real estate, buying, selling, coronavirus, etc. That's the real estate show that follows our show. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're here for you. Our website is championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
I see your face and sense the grace and feel the magic in your touch. Oh.
Gary Bell, Brad Pollack. Our law firm is Bell and Pollack. This is a law talk show. Our subject today has been the NCAA, and it's a wide, expansive subject. Don't forget about our Champions of the People injury show. We do a one-hour injury show every week, and it's in detail, and we cover a different subject each week to educate you and give you the information you need to fight your injury claim. So this week, due to sporting events on Saturday, etc., normally our Champions of the People injury show runs from 10 to 11 every Saturday. I would say probably 48 weeks a year, 49, 47 weeks. There are two or three weeks that we get the show changed because of sporting events, and that's what's happening now. So our Champions of the People injury show is not going to be today at 10 to 11 like it normally is on KOA. It's going to air tomorrow morning, Sunday at 9 o'clock. On KOA, and we're talking about back injuries. And so that's 9 o'clock tomorrow morning on KOA. We're talking about being injured, your back being injured. What do you need to do? What do you need to know? In Steamboat Springs, it's going to be at 8 o'clock on KBCR, and that's going to follow this show. That's our Champions of the People injury show. Champions of the People injury show in Steamboat Springs. And we're talking about, you know, you're injured. You have to pay back your medical bills. Do you really have to pay them back? If you were injured and you have $25,000 in medical bills, and you get paid by the at-fault party's insurance company, do you really have to pay those back? That show is going to air. That Champions of the People injury show is going to air on KBCR at 8 o'clock this morning following this show. And in Craig, Colorado on KRAI, it's going to air at 8 o'clock following this show as well. So we give you all the information you have. You can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Let's go back to our subject, which is the NCAA. We're talking about horizontal integration or horizontal restraint, if you will. There's an agreement between all the colleges and the rules passed by the NCAA. So now the United States Supreme Court's going to review this decision in San Francisco, the Ninth Circuit. Let's be clear. The decision in California ruled and held, as did the original court, the trial court, ruled that the NCAA has violated and did violate the Sherman Antitrust Law. The remedy wanted, the court modified the remedy and did not give the plaintiffs everything they wanted. What does that mean? The plaintiffs wanted to be able to be paid and for endorsements and name and likeness and images. And the Ninth Circuit didn't do that. They said, yes, the NCAA violated the Sherman Antitrust Law, right? And there was a restraint of trade, an improper illegal restraint of trade. But they said that the schools can pay them for educationally related expenses, and endorsements, and paid endorsements, and you know, and signatures on ball caps, and that was not educationally related. So the plaintiffs in that case didn't win everything they wanted. The NCAA is really upset because they got it was ruled that they violated the Sherman Antitrust Law.
Well, and you got to remember that case did not say that you have to share 50% of your profits off a sport with the players who play the sport. It did not say that. As a matter of fact, it even went so far as the district court in that case, the district court established that the players should get, I think it was like $5,000 per year for playing on the or for playing the sport of just additional money, and that was struck down. They said that did not have any kind of real relationship to the cost of attendance, and when they cost it COA, the cost of attendance of going to school. And so they said, but the players are entitled, and it's okay for there to be a rule, or there should be a rule where the players get all compensation for all costs of attendance. And now you got new rules that you have to establish as far as, okay, where do we draw the line of cost of attendance? Is cost of attendance a $100,000 brand new car, or is it a $20,000 brand new car? Well, what are we going to say the cost of attendance is to be able to go to school and be able to pay it? Or is it a car at all? and what kind of dorms, I mean, you know, and what kind of living arrangements are you entitled to, and what's going on when some of these athletes have family members and or have children, and they're trying to say, well, you know, I'm giving up by playing the sport. I'm not able to have a second job or have a job. How many people out there right now can say they went to college and had a job to help pay their bills, to go to school and pay their bills, take care of their family? Well, guess what? But a lot of athletes don't have that opportunity. Not arguing one side or the other, just saying that these are the legal ramifications. And then it comes down to the question of, can the NCAA establish its own organization? Can it say, okay, you've got all those laws out there that have to apply, but we're going to put together a group of schools that are going to have a separate set of rules that are going to be more restrictive, and the players can then decide where they want to go to the school, like California, what this under the California laws, or whether it wants to go to an NCAA school, and that maybe that's going to depend on what kind of exposure they get, what kind of championship they get, and the true test will then be whether or not the amateurism is what drives people to watch college sports, because that's what the NCAA says is amateurism is a major factor of what's driving people to watch college sports.
That's their main argument, amateurism. And what is that? The meaning, their pitch is you can't make this into a pro deal. You can't make this into a pay deal, because people watch college sports because they're amateurs and not paid pro athletes. And so that's a main driving force. That's their argument. We would lose business. We would lose customers. We would lose clientele. Nobody would watch the national championship game. Nobody would watch the SEC. Nobody would watch the Big 12. And so because they only watch or mainly watch because they're amateurs. So that's a huge part of the argument, Brad.
Well, in a way it makes sense. In a way it doesn't. I mean, you know, are we just going to have another branch of the NFL? If we allow football, and we're going to have another branch of the ABA, if we allow basketball and we allow the college players to get paid as if they're professionals, and then are we going to be saying, well, you know, and instead of having the AFC and the NFC and the National Football League, now we have the college paid teams, and now we're going to have the college paid teams play against the, you know, does amateurism set things apart? And once again, this isn't a show of argument of that. It's a show of what our courts have to look at in trying to determine if there's some kind of exemption to the NCAA against the Sherman Antitrust Act, realizing they violated it anyway.
All right, you're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're here for you every week. Don't forget about our Champions of the People Injury Show. If you're confused about the time, just go to our website, championsofthepeople.com, and it shows all the times where all of our shows are aired right there, plus our past shows. Bell and Pollock, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we are your champions of the people. See you next week. Northern Michigan.